Hey guys, welcome to Tapping Into Crypto. I'm Pav, and with me, the illustrious Ted.
Thanks for the intro, Pav.
I thought I'd throw one back at you, you know?
Mate, you're not bad at the intro. We might have to get you doing it a bit more often. But yeah, mate, good to be back.
How's your weekend?
Fantastic. Went to the Lions. That's about it.
Rainy?
Very rainy.
Lions lost. Yeah, it was wet, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
yeah, no good.
Good weekend nonetheless, but Pav, there's a lot to uncover.
Yeah, so sorry. We better not waste time.
Let's not waste any time and get straight into it.
Let's go.
I mean, lots happened since last week. We obviously had the dip in the market, primarily based off the back of, you know, the conflict in the Middle East. Yep. And as we mentioned, like me and you both bought the dip, which actually worked out for us because a lot of the altcoins, particularly the ones that were down over 30%, came back a lot. Mm-hmm. What are you seeing at the moment?
Very simply, like we've always, on I guess here at least, looked at everything as a range. And if we look at like where price was trading back in March, it's essentially just dipped under the March prices and pretty much rallied as soon as we've come back inside the March low. So that tells me the market's seeing value at those lows. So from here, it's really setting up what we might see as the next basis for going higher. You know, this is exactly what we'd want to see if we want to see new highs, in my opinion. But you know, obviously we can't discount what happens after we get out of this sort of range here. We could start to go sideways and go up or also go down. But historically speaking, you know, once we have had a dip like this, like we have seen in previous bull markets, this is kind of usually the washout that we need to see to sort of peg prices and go a bit higher. So fair bit of damage done on altcoins. I mean, some of them even down 60%. So if you did manage to catch something as part of your DCA or dollar costing strategy, well done. Obviously right now it's looking pretty good. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, we're even seeing the ETF flows. So the, you know, the big boys and girls in Wall Street, they haven't really stopped buying. The only one that's been, I guess, selling persistently is the GBTC product, the Grayscale. So that's something that's not new, but even that we're starting to see slow down as well. So what's important to know is that even through all this turmoil, all these rockets being launched left, right, and center, we were still seeing buying from Wall Street on the Bitcoin ETFs as well. So I would anticipate that if with the market continuing to climb, I'd want to see these numbers start to increase, get above these averages that we can see down here. And that'll be very, very good tailwinds for the market. And just lastly, I wanted to point out, we have got some pretty big macroeconomic news, specifically from the US coming out this week. I won't name them all, but the big one is GDP, so gross domestic product. They're actually pegging it to be 2.4%, which is less than what it was last quarter. So anything above that is likely not priced into the market.
Right.
So it'd be a really, really interesting one if we do get a higher than
expected. Anything above that means good for the market.
Yeah. Likely good for the market.
Yeah.
So it's just suspiciously low is all I would say. Okay. So yeah, just be watching that one. That lands Thursday. Yeah, Thursday, 10:30 PM Aussie Eastern Standard Time. So
yep. And one thing we forgot to mention is the Bitcoin halving happened.
Yeah,
that probably the biggest event in crypto's history. You know, it happens every 4 years, and it happened on Saturday. Yeah, I mean, we were never really expecting Bitcoin to, you know, shoot up and to the right on the day of the halving, or even within a week, were we? Because these things usually take a little bit of time before, like, things start to really start getting moving. But yeah, that's now in place. So we've always talked about how, you know, the ETFs are buying up, I think, you know, a couple of thousand Bitcoin a day, and then there were 900 Bitcoin being created. That's what drove the price up initially.
Yep.
But now that 900 Bitcoin being created a day is now 450 or approximately around there. And so
I've got a great stat. Ever since the ETFs launched on the 11th of January, 220,000 Bitcoin have been held like on custody as inflows. So that's what they're holding in entities, about that figure. And there's only been just under 90,000 created. So if we get the same amount of buying, and now there's even half of that being issued as new tokens, or new coins, sorry. I mean, that's the supply shock we've been talking about for months now. Like this is what we're dealing with. And we've got China about to start doing ETFs as well.
Absolutely. Well, Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, sorry.
Yeah.
Not mainland China.
No. But yeah, I think this last week is kind of like a good opportunity to call out, like, we've seen, you know, black swan events and events that, you know, kind of evoke fear, uncertainty, doubt. We call it FUD over the last couple of years. And traditionally those have been like the best times to buy. Like the feeling you get when you see, you know, Bitcoin like dip pretty considerably, and then altcoins, like you said, up to 60%, you get scared, you get hesitant and cautious. Yep. You don't want to, but like, if you look back in the last few years, you know, you saw the FTX saga play out, you saw Russia and Ukraine, you saw the USDC depegging or issues about there that, with, de-pegging. What was the bank? Silicon Valley Bank.
SVB.
So, yeah. And then, of course, now with the conflict in the Middle East, that, you know, who knows how it's going to play out. But typically what we see is, you know, a pretty sharp dip. And then as time goes on, the market comes back pretty strongly as well. So, just let that be a little bit of a lesson to everyone. Just like, don't always think what the market is thinking, and, try and think outside of the box when these things happen.
Yeah.
And same when it's going up as well. So like, if everyone's thinking it's bullish and it's going to go to the moon, like, maybe think the opposite. Just to give, you know, an alternative perspective.
No, it's absolutely right. And to think of this as well, like, just again, think of this in your mind, just really chastise it, because you're going to see this again, and you're going to have to be able to think in a similar fashion way again. Like we just said, there's so many events where the exact same things played out. So it's not going to stop.
And even in a bull market, these things happen.
Yeah, totally.
But look, I wanted to put a question to you. How long till alt season? I mean, we haven't even had the Bitcoin chance, but.
We're closer to it than we were yesterday. Look, a lot of it comes down to Bitcoin dominance, in my opinion, and we don't know when this is going to top out. But look, I've sort of marked out. So Bitcoin dominance, this is a reflection of how much of the total market cap is sitting in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would expect is, what we want to really kick off an altcoin real alt season is another Bitcoin led rally. So that means Bitcoin sort of steals the show, sucks out liquidity. Most other altcoins go up, but it's only the good ones, the high beta ones, the ones that are actually in market performing. So the likes of your Solanas, we've seen in recent times, say Pendle, just to name a few randomly, even some meme coins. So I think once we get up to these sort of levels and we start to absolutely cascade down, that we just see all altcoins across all classes likely catch a bid and start to put in their seismic new highs.
Yep.
So I would still say don't know when. We can look at the previous market cycle, and we can see initially there was a bit of a fade to the downside after the halving, which was here.
Mm.
And basically we did see dominance drop about 8 to 9%. So that would have precipitated maybe a lot of the breakouts initially for altcoins, but we saw that quickly whip back up before the eventual drop down. And that occurred, 231 days after the halving. So it's, again, food for thought, but second halving, we saw the real break about 217 days after the halving again.
Yeah.
So if we look at this halving, 217 days, or let's just say what's 200 days, we're looking at November at the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing to say that there may be potentially some sort of, you know, altcoin frenzy if we sort of repeat last time initially, which is then led by some sort of maybe sell-off, which results in this going up, and then the ultimate drop, which looks like it could be towards the back end of this year, if history repeats itself again.
I think it's important to add that Bitcoin dominance is at like a three-year high.
It is.
Which is about 56%, but it's still like way off those 2021 highs, which sat at about 70%. So I don't know if it's necessarily going to reach those highs again, because if you look back at the cycle before, it didn't reach the dominance level that it did, because more coins are entering the market, more money, especially institutional money, is flowing into some of these other altcoins. Like we talk about Ethereum, Solana, and other big projects are garnering that sort of mainstream attention and institutional buying. So something to keep an eye on. But I think once that starts to teeter off, and I'm talking about Bitcoin dominance, that's when you'll probably start to look at the altcoin season and really start to pick some winners there.
But that doesn't stop things like this happening. Like, again, we're talking about alt season, where some of these altcoins do, you know, triple figure plus percentages day in, day out. We're still seeing days where the markets are up, you can see right here, 20 to 40%, right? So it all just comes down to what's your plan, or I guess, essentially long term, you'd be looking at that. But even short term, there are still these sort of opportunities in market.
Yeah. And I've got a little bit of a tweet to show, it's a good tweet. It kind of show, cause like some people might be saying, like you said, we're already getting altcoin season because, you know, the likes of Pepe and Bonk are up 30%, but I just want to remind people what sort of altcoin mania really looks like. So looking back at the 2021 cycle, we've got a few little things here. So Dogecoin went up close to 10x in a day, and that was already sitting at $1 billion market cap, which is just like unheard of. And that's what really triggered, you know, like a mainstream frenzy into crypto last cycle. I know working at SwiftX was a crazy day.
Yeah, that was mental.
Some other ones to call out here, Theta market cap went from $1 billion to $12 billion, so 12x in 3 months. Rune went from 200 million to 5 billion in 5 months. Filecoin reached at some point an FDV close to 400 billion. So yeah, just parabolic things happening in the altcoin market. Obviously, these align with a lot of the trends. Like I know Axie Infinity and Gala, two gaming coins, did absolutely stupid numbers as well. Like, so they fall in line with these trends, but it's just kind of to point out that we have seen nothing yet. And, I don't think it's until we have that large Bitcoin pump that we will see that altcoin season, and we'll see money rotate out of Bitcoin into the altcoins.
Yeah. And just very simply think about it too. The people you're talking to and sort of trying to have chats about crypto with, they're the people that are already in crypto. Like it's not until you actually start talking to your mates that have never touched crypto that we're probably edging on the edge of
the
markets maybe turning around in a big way. If you think about it from sentiment point of view. But what are you seeing in the top movers, Ted?
Look, there's a lot of green. Some of the key ones, I think we've highlighted that the Solana ecosystem's bit of a narrative playing out at the moment. So Bonk is one of the top movers, and Jupiter, which is the key DEX on Solana, and then also Pyth Network, which is a node protocol, or Oracle protocol. Yeah. What else have we seen, Pav?
Well, I think it's interesting. I was actually going to talk about it irregardless of if it's on the top movers, but I'm seeing a couple of gaming coins finally, or at least that industry or sector. So we've got Beam, IMX. So, I mean, obviously these could be just the fact that they're catching a bid after the massive sell-off that we've seen.
Yep.
But I mean, a lot of these gaming coins look like they were close to dead to me on a technical chart, at least. So if there's ever a point for these to start to pop and go, I would say it's relatively soon. And if it doesn't, and other sectors start to shoot off instead. So let's say the AI narrative again, if that starts running forward, I would be personally looking at a reason to show that gaming is going to outpace AI for the next couple of weeks or months. Like I'd still say that might be the most popular theme that people are seeing. But I mean, we've called it for quite a while now, like infrastructure tokens, like say I can see there, NEAR, Injective, they've all been outperformers for months now. So it's not a surprise to see them in the top movers again. That's kind of what I was dollar cost averaging into, to be honest.
Yeah, so was I. And I know a few of them, particularly Say and Sui, ones that I hold, they were down like, you know, close to 40%, even more than that.
Discount.
So I was like, okay, well, I already have a pretty strong position. I might as well just dollar cost average.
Yep.
And
brings down that average cost, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And don't forget, we've got our trading competition, which you know, I'm seeing Celestia in here, which I know that was one of your picks. So
I wonder who won.
I mean, you'll have to find out, but make sure to stick around for that at the end, where we'll give our picks for the next week. But good to see the markets looking green again.
Yeah, all good things. And hopefully we can again do another deep dive into another sector. I think that was pretty well received, the real world asset breakdown we did last time, so we'll give that another crack.
Yeah, we'll do that every couple of weeks, just because that, you know, there's a limited number of sectors, but I think it's important that people understand the difference between these sectors and
what's the
narratives they move in. So quick one. So Token 2049 happened in Singapore over the weekend. I think it was Thursday, Friday, actually. Yep. And
didn't flood.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the speakers couldn't even get into the country. No, it's in Dubai, isn't it?
Oh, was that the one? You said Singapore.
Yeah.
Is that the same? Yeah, no, Dubai, they definitely flooded them. I thought they...
Yeah, sorry, it was in Dubai, and yeah, so I think it put a bit of a dampener literally on the event. But look, there were still some big announcements. I know I called out as part of my trading strategy for the competition that I was looking at Toncoin, because there was, you know, anticipated some big announcements coming there.
Yep.
So turns out there was. So Tether was launching USDT and XAUT. So it's gold stablecoin on the Toncoin blockchain, which is pretty massive.
Huge.
Obviously, Tether is the company behind the biggest stablecoin, USDT.
Mm-hmm.
Huge company. And then also Telegram announced that their own creators will now be able to be tipped in Toncoin, with 70% of the tips going to creators.
Wow, that's huge.
So for those that don't know, Toncoin is quite closely linked with Telegram, and that's part of the reasons why it's done so well.
Yeah, lots of users ready to go, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Apart from that, not too much. I think it was partly due to the fact that, you know, a lot of speakers
didn't
get in. But I was anticipating Chainlink to bring out some big announcements, but nothing really to report there. So missed the mark on that one.
Mate, it's all right. It happens. But still pretty big adoption stories for crypto. And speaking of adoption stories, Venezuela is set to try to fast-track using cryptocurrency to settle oil sales. So I think this comes off the back of a sanction that's been imposed by the US to the country. So I guess take from it what you will. It could just be maybe a good case study at the end of the day of actually settling large volumes and, you know, costs associated with commodities through blockchain as a payment method. Nothing that I can think of that sort of is doing anything similar to this. So, you know, it's just interesting to see that a lot of the stuff is all still done on the US dollar. People may not know. So using cryptocurrency as a way to sort of settle them in real time looks like what they're trying to fast track.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this ties into the next news headline that we're going to look into.
Yeah, Mr. RFK Jr.
Yeah. So we always talk about like how crypto, for it to really hit the mainstream and really, like, you know, go astronomical in terms of prices, we need governments to adopt it.
Yeah.
And we spoke about Venezuela, obviously, what was it? El Salvador
was the original one. The name.
But yeah,
geez, they're doing well right now.
What have we got here, Pav?
Well, RFK Jr., just in a recent address, said if elected, he'll put the entire US budget on a blockchain. So I don't know. Like, for me, it's just maybe just trying to elicit, like, just enact some sort of reaction from a crowd. But yeah. I mean, RFK, very popularly known to be a Bitcoin lover, has done many talks to be paid in Bitcoin, which he said he's like put in trust accounts for his kids. Like, he sees a long-term potential of a decentralized deflationary currency. So just interesting. I think for him, it's just a way to, again, get a bit of engagement. But look, I mean, even if it puts just blockchain tech in the public eye to be looked into further, that's great for me. Like, I still think, you know, at least starts a discussion.
Is he the son of JFK or nephew?
I think it's like nephew.
Nephew.
I think it's nephew. I could be wrong. Someone might better tell us, but I'm pretty sure it's nephew.
I know, like, his family all pretty much got assassinated, so.
Yeah. Well, are we going to dive into that now, are we?
I know that he's doing well.
Yeah, he is doing well. what else we got happening? Tim Draper.
Yeah, Tim Draper. So this, you probably wouldn't have heard of him. He's not like a massive name, but he's basically known for picking $10,000 Bitcoin in 2014. So he picked it in 3 years' time. Bitcoin's going to hit $10,000 in 2017. I think it hit even 20K US. So he was bang on the money there.
Mm-hmm.
But he's come out with an even bigger prediction this time. He said it could reach up to 10 million. So it was kind of a throwaway statement saying, you know, a Bitcoin could hit 250, a million, 5 million, even 10 million.
Yep.
And he said that it could happen for a couple of reasons, mainly if, you know, Bitcoin is adopted by governments all over the world and becomes more adapted into our daily lives. So, like, using it for goods and services, even paying your taxes with it. So in that case, he's like, I see no reason why Bitcoin wouldn't hit 10 mil because everyone would own Bitcoin. And then you also made a good point before how, you know, if Bitcoin overtakes some of these fiat currencies, like, the fiat currencies would really have no value anymore. So, like, the value of the fiat currency would drop, and therefore Bitcoin's value against the fiat currency would rise.
Yeah, it's just talking to what we're already seeing, like, the buying power, I guess you could call it, of things like our Aussie dollars, US dollars, it's always declining. So that's why, you know, things like gold and Bitcoin, I guess, hopefully a better store of value. I could definitely see that being the case. But I mean, whether it's in the next 100 years, 200 years or 50 years, that's what we'll wait and find out.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out that this guy looks pretty ancient.
Yes.
And that, but hey, he's a billionaire.
Hey, he's done it right. He's done something right, so. Without further ado, let's jump into the TIC crypto tipping, the tick tipping.
So for the listeners that weren't joining us last week, we started a bit of a competition on the SwiftX demo mode, which you can access via the SwiftX app. So we're starting with $10,000 USD, and we're making 3 trades a week and updating the listeners and viewers every week on how we performed. Obviously, we're going head to head, and Pav, I hate
mano
to say it,
mano.
You've taken the win on the first week.
Yep. Oh, I'm going to try win every week. Absolutely bury you. But I went in my allocation a Bitcoin for 50% of the portfolio, Solana 25 and Celestia the other 25. So most of those assets were up evenly. I think the net profit or the end profit was $800. So that's where I wound up last week. And this week I'm going to jump into IMX.
Yeah,
looking good on the technicals for me. And then Bitcoin and Solana again, just because they're showing strength. I kind of expect that to continue.
Okay, yeah. Cool. I'll run everyone through my picks again. So I went through for Link, Toncoin, and Ondo. So the Link and Toncoin was purely based off the Token 2049 announcements. So we saw that play out with Toncoin, but for some reason the price dropped, I think because it performed so well in the weeks prior. So a bit disappointed with that one. Ondo as well, 5% down. Link did okay. It was 15% up. But overall, out of my 10,000, $30 down. So not great compared to your $800 up.
That's okay.
But I'll run people through my tips for this week because, Pav, I plan to overtake you and crush you over the coming weeks.
You actually got a pretty good looking list.
Yeah. So starting off with Bitcoin, I'm going $600. So the majority of my portfolio into Bitcoin for this week.
Yep.
Purely based off halving. We talked about it before. We expect Bitcoin dominance to rise over the next,
yep.
like based on
I'm
previous
thinking I'm
cycles.
The same. That's why I've got the most in that, just because it's got to go first, right?
So. Exactly. Yeah. And then you've also got the ETFs and also yep. the Hong Kong, which could start trading anytime.
Could be like next week, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be big.
Next, I've got Whiff, Dog Whiff Hat.
Mate. Favorite.
So it's down 37% from its all-time high. And we saw the likes of Bonk and Pepe that, you know, did like 30% over the last week. So I'm looking at that and saying, okay, I think Whiff is the next to run. It's probably been the most popular meme coin for the last sort of 6 months.
Made the Las Vegas fear.
Did it?
Yeah, they ended up doing it.
They paid for that.
Yeah.
I think it's like 600 grand for a day or something.
They'll
or
do it again.
A couple of hours.
I'm sure they'll do it again. I'm sure they're planning it right now.
Should we do a tick billboard on the sphere?
Sure.
Great. And then lastly, I was tossing up between either Stacks or Render. I've gone for Render for the last $190 of my portfolio.
That's 10 grand. What do you mean? 190 bucks.
Sorry, I meant 1,900.
Okay.
Sorry. I've gone in hundreds instead of thousands. So 1,900 into Render. I just think out of the AI, it's probably the strongest. Yeah. So I think the AI narrative is still running hot and it doesn't take much for that to pick up a bit of steam again. So I think Render's similar to Whiff is down probably 20% from, you know, its high from a couple of weeks ago. So I'm
like
on that one.
That's a good point, mate.
Yeah.
Good allocation. Both meme and AI were the front runners just recently. So
I was interested with IMX. Bit of a sleeper over the last sort of couple of months.
That's kind of my thing. It's just, again, technically for me, it looks like it's been in a longish range of accumulation. Uh-huh. And I have seen the likes of OP and Arbitrum running prior to this big dump. So, yeah, I'm just thinking IMX could be, again, sleeping giant, just like you said. But, again, it may or may not. Kind of taking a punt on this one. I probably could have picked, I think something like Whiff might have been a bit better. But, yeah, I'm hoping by next week, you know, we're looking pretty Gucci.
Yeah, you know what's silly? For the demo trading, I jumped into coins that I'd never traded before. For my actual portfolio, I jumped into, say, Sui.
And you did well.
all of them did like plus 20% gains in a week. So I don't know why. I thought I'd take a bit of a punt.
You got it. It's like the footy tipping, right? Sometimes you don't pick the home team. You
got to risk it for the biscuit.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Cool,
That's
mate.
It. That was a good app.
Absolutely.
We'll be back to break down what's happened next week. I have the feeling next week's going to be a pretty important one. We either would have made it or we've failed it. I think we'll find out what the market's going to show its hand this time next week. So it'd be a good episode, I reckon.
Let's wait and see. And for everyone listening, make sure to follow us on socials and check out our YouTube channel for the video so you can check out the charts that Pav is putting on the screen.
You can check out the TED too.
Yeah, you can. But anyway, catch you next week.
Yeah, thanks again, guys, for liking it. Yeah, we're getting a fair few subscribers lately, so really appreciate the support. So
yeah, cheers.
See you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.